off the glass. The left corner to Aguilla. Aguilla the left circle. Passing to Yell. A shot. Save made by all. Aguilla's rebound. Another shot. They score! The Flames win it! Yeah, baby!
They score!
And the sea of red erupts!
Flames Talk starts now on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Here's Pat Steinberg.
All right, welcome to Hour 1 on this Wednesday, September 28th. Hour 1 of Flames Talk is underway. Coming at you from the Scotiabank Saddle Dome with Aaron Vickers of Daily Hive. It's Pat Steinberg with you on a Wednesday. Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon, wherever you get your podcast. Hi, Vicks.
Hello, Steiny.
In a game Tuesday night where we really wanted to see some players kind of start to separate themselves maybe, and where we wanted to see one or two guys really stand out that we had talked about. I'm not sure we got as much of that as the Flames were hoping they would, at least not in the forward groups. I'm not sure Sonny Milano or Adam Ruzicka or Jacob Pelche did really anything on Tuesday night to elevate themselves ahead of the pack, and that's not to say it was all bad, but I didn't mind Matthew Phillips. I didn't mind Connor Zeri. I liked Mackey. I liked Milosh. We'll get to some positives for sure. But I don't know if that forward situation got any more clear on Tuesday night. I don't know if there was really any anything that made you say, okay, yep, that evolved a little bit. I think it's still as murky as it was.
Clear as mud, Patrick. I did not see the things that I was hoping to see out of some of the candidates for that second line right wing spot. Now, granted, there are guys playing in different spots out of roles necessarily against the Seattle Kraken last night, a more veteran Seattle Kraken than veteran Calgary Flames roster, but that is by design. That is to give some of these kids a chance to showcase themselves and compete for one of the spots in that top nine. Most noticeably for me, Adam Ruzicka playing the left wing. That experiment lasted 40 minutes before Ruzicka moved back to the middle. We talked yesterday about what does success look like for Adam Ruzicka in this debut, if you will, this showcase as a left winger, given the fact that the Calgary Flames are deep down the middle, and if this 23-year-old wants to stay in the NHL this season, perhaps wing is the place for him. The place was not the wing for Adam Ruzicka last night, and I think everybody would agree that that showcase, if you will, didn't necessarily go Adam's way.
Yeah, well, here's Daryl Sutter. You asked him about that on Wednesday morning. Ruzicka's not going to play in the game against the Oilers on Wednesday night, but you asked him after the game when he spoke, and this is what the head coach had to say about Ruzicka on the left side.
What did you see last night in Adam Ruzicka on the left side?
He played there for two periods, and he was not very efficient.
When you look at your center depth and you look at Adam, and it's not about one player, but how tough is it for a young center to crack this roster, given the guys you have?
It's not cracking the roster. He's playing in the NHL regular. I couldn't care less what roster it is.
And I kind of get what the head coach is getting at there. In that, by the way, that was Aaron Vickers asking those questions. I kind of get what he's getting at. Like I think what he's trying to say is, he's got to do a lot of things to become a full-time NHLer. He's got it. Like there are things in his game that need to be ramped up, whether it's on this team cracking this roster or any roster. He's got to get certain parts of his games at a different level. And you know what? The thing that jumps off the page most to me when talking about Ruzicka, I know he's young and I know there's still room to grow, and I don't want to sound like I'm being too hard on a guy who, you know, has less than 30 NHL games to his name, but where was the urgency? Like that's a huge opportunity for a guy to put himself even larger on the radar. If you're a blip on the radar, make yourself a bigger dot on the radar and do it on the left-hand side. We talked in the roundtable and all day on Tuesday about, hey, here's a really big opportunity. Just there was no urgency there, and I know that is something that has frustrated the organization about him in the past and has frustrated other people about him in the past. Like, if that urgency, if that compete level is at a different level, a little bit higher, I don't think we're talking about him being a bubble NHL player. I really don't.
I'm mad at you. You stole my word. I had urgency typed out right here on the laptop in front of me. Big, bold letters, all caps lock. We did not see urgency out of Adam Ruzicka last night. Daryl Sutter said it best. Not very efficient. Adam Ruzicka needs to show something in whatever remaining games he has that he's, one, ready to make the jump. The other point Daryl Sutter made, which the way I interpreted that second answer is, he's not just here to crack the roster. If he cracks the roster, he's got to be among the top nine forwards on the Calgary Flames. You can't just sit here, crack the roster, and be the 13th or 14th forward. It does nothing for his development.
What good is that?
It does nothing in terms of making him a better player for tomorrow. If he's got to play on this roster, it's got to be in a top nine, and we just didn't see that urgency. We certainly didn't see that efficiency out of Adam Ruzicka. And if you can get that urgency level up, again, he's 6'3 or 6'4, 220 to 230 pounds. If he just applied himself more, showed that urgency, showed that desperation that he's fighting to stay in the NHL, I think he can be a bull of a forward. He just needs to show it more.
And maybe it isn't an actual lack of urgency. Like, we're not in his head. We don't know what's going on. Maybe he's as urgent as anybody else, but it doesn't look like the urgency is there. And that it's something you got to work on. And you know, there were just times in that game in Seattle where he was too easily in a preseason game just kind of brushed off the puck or would give up on a 50-50 battle when he didn't have to. And that's, like, this is not a guy who is an established NHLer. If Michael Backlund loses a bunch of 50-50 battles in the preseason, nobody cares because he has got a track record of being a very good player, and we know that when the games matter for real, he'll be better. Same with anybody else. If Jonathan Huberdeau or Nazem Kadri or Chris Tanev or Noah Hanifin have a three or four bad preseason games, nobody's worried because they're not trying to make the team. But, you know, if you're talking about Adam here, like, this is the time where you need to be at a different intensity level, or it needs to look like you're at a different intensity level than a lot of other people. I did not see that on Tuesday.
And to a degree, we're talking about Adam Ruzicka right now, but I think sort of the same thing can apply to Sonny Milano. I think the same thing can sort of apply to Jacob Pelletier. Those two guys in particular, I haven't seen near enough out of as guys that are competing to try to be NHLers and grab one of these coveted top nine spots on the Calgary Flames. To me, I'm comparing Sonny Milano a little bit last night to Daniel Sprong. I think they're similar levels of players. I think they're both trying to, you know, they're in that similar age range. They're in that similar draft pedigree. To me, Daniel Sprong was noticeable last night for the Seattle Kraken.
Might have been the best player on the ice.
Sonny Milano, not so much for me, and I don't want to be continually harping on Sonny Milano, but he's got a glorious shot here to play a top six role on a team that's going to contend for the division, and I just haven't seen that urgency like we talk about with Adam Ruzicka. Haven't seen it out of Sonny Milano, and to a lesser degree, we have not seen it out of Jacob Pelletier. What was your take on those two guys?
The thing that gives me a little bit of optimism on Milano is that I agree that he has not been in his two preseason outings, which you know, one of them was here at the Dome and one of them was on the road in Seattle. It's not like he is popped to such a degree that you're like, oh boy, like, this guy cannot be denied. You got to give him a contract. But subtly, I've seen him at the very least around it offensively, and I think that's one of the things that has kind of followed Milano throughout his career, is that it's actually not all that different from the conversation about Ruzicka, but there's maybe a little bit more of a track record on Milano in being that he's around it. He's in the right spots. He's where he needs to be. It just doesn't necessarily look the same way it does, and it's maybe not as noticeable, and I think part of that is that some of the commitment away from the puck maybe isn't where a guy like Daryl Sutter would want it to be. Some of the commitment to the other side of the game, but you go take a look at he led the team in scoring chances in Seattle. He led the team in high danger scoring chances in Seattle. He's creative. He's around it offensively, but you're right. It's not like it's been so emphatic or so noticeable that you're like, well, you got to give this guy a contract. I'm not as down on him as some others are, and I understand why there are some like, this guy's got this golden opportunity. Why isn't it popping? Where's the I've seen some subtle things, especially in the offensive zone, where I've been like, okay, I can see what's there from him.
Is my expectation of him maybe too high? I'm looking at him, and by and large, I'm scouting off the score sheet because I've seen Sonny Milano play in person probably 5-6 times, and to be perfectly honest, when the Anaheim Ducks are in town, I'm not zeroing in on Sonny Milano. He had 14 goals, 20 assists for 34 points in 66 games last year. To me, he hasn't outplayed anybody in Calgary's top nine so far in this camp. Am I just setting the bar too? Am I expecting too much based on that stat line / knowing the individual skill that he has? And even think back to his draft year and some of the viral videos that were going on in and around the combine, him flipping the puck around, doing all the magical things that all the kids do these days. Am I just maybe misslotting him a little bit, or am I right to a degree to hope to see more in a guy that's going to be contending?
I don't think that you're necessarily. I don't know if you're necessarily being unfair, and I do think that there is more that he needs to show. There's been a few times where I've just seen why people like the offensive side of his game. That's really all I'm saying, because I would like to see more from him, and I would like to see it be a little bit more or it to jump off the page a little bit more. And I definitely would like to see some of the other things, battle level a couple of times, kind of positioning when not even in the defensive zone, positioning even when he didn't have the puck in the offensive zone, trying to get it back. I think there's still some work that needs to be done there, and I think Daryl Sutter would be the guy to do that with him. So I think he'll probably get two or three more preseason games before this is all said and done, and it's going to be a really interesting evaluation for the Flames. If it kind of continues the way that it has, do they say, yes, we see potential, we see kind of something that can be molded here under our head coach, or do they say, no, it's just not a fit, and we're going to try another avenue?
Well, and speaking of fits, we haven't even seen him with his projected line mates yet with Andrew
Mandry.
And I said that
in the post game after the game in Seattle. I do want to see him with Kadri, and it feels like that's been earmarked. Now, it's not going to happen against the Oilers. Kadri's making his debut against Edmonton on Wednesday, and Milano played the night before, so it's not going to happen in this one, but I would like to see that at some point if the opportunity's in the cards, and I just wonder how playing, and this is no knock on Connor Zeri, who both of us have liked, and we'll get to him in a second, but I just, to put him with the type of player that is an established NHL driver like Kadri is. Kadri drives an NHL line, and Milano does not. Milano fits best as a complementary shotgun rider, and I think a perfect guy to ride shotgun with is Nazem Kadri. And if you put Mangiapane, like, that's a really nice duo to kind of be along for the ride for. So I would like to see that at some point before the preseason's out.
And that's a very valid point, putting him with a play driver like Nazem Kadri, where Sonny Milano doesn't have to do the heavy lifting for his line. He doesn't have to do necessarily 100% of the generating in the offensive zone. So that's a fair claim. Now, we're looking at 1 week in from training camp, if you count fitness testing, week two technically, if you go week by week. Is Milano the front runner right now for that spot?
I don't think there is one. That there is no front runner if there's even a race right now. I honestly don't know. And you know, maybe it gets a little bit more clear as we move into the second half of the preseason. After this game against the Oilers, preseason will be halfway done for Calgary. So, and we're, what, just over 2 weeks away from the start of the regular season. So there's time left, but there's not a lot of time left. And, yeah, as of right now, I don't think it really is all that defined a race. I think it's just a lot of muck, and it still needs to clear itself out a little bit. I will say, before we hear from Nazem Kadri and focus in on his preseason debut, I will say, and it was a texter, I think it was Robert who texted in on Tuesday night, and basically said, Connor Zeri looks like a first-round pick right now. He doesn't look like a first-round pick who's ready to play in the NHL immediately. Doesn't look like, you know, one of those guys that is so good right away, but since Penn Tickton, he's just looked like a guy's like, yeah, you can understand why that guy was taken in the first round. And we haven't really had the opportunity at a high level to see a ton of that, because he gets drafted in October 2020 and then kind of plays with Stockton, then plays in that weird Western Hockey League kind of exhibition season. And so it was kind of hard to get any real read on him. Then last year as a 20, he got hurt in training camp and wasn't able to join the team until midway through. So I don't know how much we really got to see this year. Different. He played all three games at the Young Stars Classic in Penticton. He's played two games now in the preseason, and he looks like a more confident, more composed, stronger player, and he just, there's more explosiveness in his game. He's doing things with the puck he looks like a first-round pick. He's not going to make the roster, and that's okay. He needs a full year in the American Hockey League, but he's been one of the real positives for me since the start of rookie camp.
to me, he's been the most consistent of the players we'll call prospects, and I'm not going to include Matthew Phillips in that because he wasn't in Penticton. Obviously, he's 24, so it's comparing apples to oranges a little bit. But to me, Connor Zary's been the most consistent. He's not doing anything flashy out there in my eyes. He's just always in the right spot. He's thinking the game really well. His positioning has been top-notch. His skating in particular has gotten better. That was one of the knocks in his draft year, that he had okay skating, but skating wasn't a plus trait for him. I think he's starting to move out there a lot better. He's reading in the defensive zone a lot better. For me, last night, he was one of Calgary's best players and arguably his best forward for my money. And I think it was a poll in The Athletic, and I apologize if I'm getting this wrong, but Flames fans were polled, which prospect are you most excited to see? This is back before rookie camp. Connor Zary got 2%.
Really?
There was five other guys, I think it was, that ranked higher than Connor Zary. Well, Flames fans can probably start getting a little bit excited, or at least a little bit more optimistic about Connor Zary in my eyes.
Well, and I mean, the season Pelche had, I understand. The fact that Coronado had such a great freshman year at Harvard, I understand. The fact that Dustin Wolf is this incredible rookie goaltender in the American League after winning goalie of the year in the Western League twice. I mean, I can understand how Zary might get lost in the shuffle, so I give him credit. He's kind of not allowing himself to be lost in the shuffle, and he's, you know what? It's not going to get him an opening day roster spot, but what happens if, you know, sometime in January or February and the Flames are in good shape and the Wranglers are playing well and Zary's flirting with point per game in the American League or something like that, and one of their centers goes down for 2 or 3 weeks and like, you know what? Let's give Zary a try. Let's make him our 3C for 2 or 3 weeks. Like that's kind of the conversation that he's putting himself in if he can carry this over into the start of the American League regular season. I give him a lot of credit. There's still lots of time to go in camp, and the rosters that he's going to go up against are going to get better because to this point, I mean, he played against a pretty good Seattle roster, but I think the rosters are just going to keep getting better. But one of the things that I look for is who gets the long look in camp, right? Who are some of the guys that last until the last cut? So even if we don't expect them to make the team, getting that long look, I think, tells you what Daryl Sutter and Brad Treliving think of you in the organization, and that's kind of where Zary's trying to put himself at this point.
Absolutely. I guess the best word I would use to describe is just linger around, just loiter around the Calgary Flames dressing room and see how long you can stick around, because when teams are looking to make their cuts and trim their rosters down, they're not doing it top up. I feel like they're doing it bottom up, where you're like, okay, we can send this guy to AHL camp. We can send this guy to AHL camp. The further Connor Zary is down the road on that conversation, the longer he'll remain in Calgary with the Flames as opposed to in Calgary with the Wranglers.
Okay, so from Seattle to Edmonton, back-to-back games for the Flames. 3-0 loss preseason-wise against the Kraken on Tuesday. One night later, completely different roster. Everybody different. 20 completely different players against the Seattle against the Edmonton Oilers on this Wednesday night. Big story, Nazem Kadri. Nazem makes his preseason debut. He'll center a line with Michael Backlund on the left and Blake Coleman on the right, and I don't think there's anything you need to read into that, by the way. I think Backlund's just playing the left because get him some reps, get Kadri some reps at center. I don't think Backlund is going to be a factor on the wing. I think it's just for the preseason, so I don't think you need to worry too much about that. Last home game, we saw Jonathan Huberdeau make his debut, and now it's Kadri making his preseason debut. I still look back at that, like the way the offseason went. I kind of liken Kadri to, okay, you're at a five-star meal, then you get a five-star dessert. Because everybody was buzzing and over the moon about the Florida trade. And then, like, 3 weeks later, they go out and they sign Kadri and they get him to a 7-year contract. And it just kind of ramped the excitement up that much more. So a lot of excitement for Huberdeau's preseason debut on Sunday. A lot of excitement for Kadri getting in against the Oilers.
I was almost going to say it's like getting that dessert comped, but I guess at a 7-year, $7 million cap hit, it's tough to call it free per se. But yeah, you're talking icing on the cake when you bring in Nazem Kadri after the trade that brought in Jonathan Huberdeau and Mackenzie Weegar and Cole Schwint and a conditional first-round pick. I'm curious to see what game one, I guess, if you will, looks like for Nazem Kadri. I don't think the expectation necessarily needs to be too high. He's knocking off some rust after a long season, and his arms are probably sore from hauling that Stanley Cup around a little bit. But it will be good to get a first glimpse at Nazem Kadri in Flames silks.
Let's hear from him. Kadri spoke on Wednesday morning following morning skate. He'll make his preseason debut against the Oilers between Backlund and Coleman. Here's Kadri ahead of preseason game number one.
About to make your preseason debut, what goes through a guy's mind, especially given the opponent?
It's exciting for sure. I mean, it's the time of year where you kind of get the itch and are excited to get back into things and, you know, just the whole routine and the day, kind of just prep yourself. So, yeah, it's exciting, and it's always fun when it's game time.
Does it get old, you know, preseason, even for a veteran guy who's been in the highest parts of the game that you have? I mean, yeah. Still feel the getting back in?
I do. I mean, it's exciting for me. I always, obviously, you know, you don't want to be playing six, seven, eight of them. So, you know, maybe two, three, four is okay. But, like I said, it's just an opportunity to kind of, you know, recharge. I mean, last game was a pretty memorable one for me, so it's nice just to get back in the swing of things and just, you know, like I said, just tighten the routine up and, you know, it's hockey season again.
What does a veteran look to accomplish in game one of the preseason? Is it just solely knocking off Russ? Is it basically just that?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like I said, you know, I didn't take a whole lot of time off this summer, so I think you know, I'm in a pretty good space and pretty good frame of mind. And, you know, obviously it's not like you forget how to play the game. So I think just little details of the game, that's more so, you know, what you got to kind of tighten up and sharpen up, get out of that summer mode and back into the season mode. So, like I said, it's always an exciting time of year.
Can you describe what it's been like trying to integrate yourself into the leadership core that's already been sort of set here in Calgary? Mm-hmm. What that's been like for you as a new guy?
It's been fun. I mean, of course, you know, I got my fair share of experience, and, you know, everyone's welcomed me with open arms, and, you know, all the leaders on this team and all the guys in general have just been great. You know, we all kind of hit it off and enjoy being around each other. So, you know, that chemistry off the ice is certainly important before you step on the ice.
Where do you stand on the debate about teams putting the C for captain on guys? I know we in the media like to make it a big deal. How do you view it?
Yeah, I mean, it's always nice to have a leader and you know, a guy you can kind of go to be in that leadership role. But with, you know, this sort of team, with all the mature players that we have, I think, you know, leading by committee could be, you know, could be pretty positive for us. So we got lots of guys in there that have played lots of games, played at high levels, played lots of important, exciting games. And, you know, when we all come together, I think that's, you know, could be more powerful.
You're a guy that's been said that he's built for the Battle of Alberta. Does it fire you up a little more knowing that your first game here is against the Edmonton Oilers?
For sure. You know, hey, it's a rival. Obviously, you learn that pretty quick when you get here. So, you know, those are going to be important points throughout the course of the season. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, obviously media kind of hypes everything else around it up. As you guys know, it's, you know, it's about who comes out on top at the end of the third period.
What's your impression of Andrew Mangiapane so far? A lot of us have sort of penciled him as a potential left winger for you.
I think he's a great player. He contributes a lot. He, you know, he's not the biggest guy, but he plays a lot bigger than he is, and he can shoot the puck too. So, you know, he's looking to score, and, you know, he's going to be a guy that gets in those dirty areas and, you know, can get me the puck and get to the net. And, you know, I think we've had a good start so far. You know, as he gets healthier, I think we get some more reps, and that's going to be key also. So, you know, I don't suspect him being too much longer, so I'm excited for him to get back also.
Do you see elements in his game that remind you of your game a little bit in terms of the feistiness and the tenacity?
Yeah, similar. I mean, I see just two guys that like to compete, and I think it's going to be, you know, a challenging line to play against. And, you know, anytime you get a couple of guys or a few guys like that on the line, I wouldn't really want to be playing against guys like that. So, you know, it's exciting, and, you know, that's an element we bring. We're going to have to be responsible. And, you know, like I said, as we get more reps, I think we get more comfortable with each other and, you know, get that chemistry going.
Nazem Kadri making his preseason debut Wednesday night against the Edmonton Oilers. There he is. I'm excited. I every day that I think more about it, I get more excited about the fit. I've always just been such a huge fan of the player. I've always appreciated the way that he plays the game, the two-way game, the feistiness. He's a really, really smart hockey player. And I've always, I go back to some of his time in Toronto where, you know, he was used as, like he was kind of given that role of, okay, we need you to be our top shutdown guy, matchup guy, and he did it really, really well. Obviously goes to Colorado, has had nothing but success there, and I've always really appreciated the way he holds himself. He's smart, he's well-spoken, he's a good ambassador. I know that there's been the suspensions, I know there's been some things that have happened, but he clearly has grown from those things. I think he's a great ambassador for the game, for the growth of the game. I just... Big fan of Nazem Kadri, and I'm really excited for how this is going to play out. I really am, and it's the preseason, so tempered excitement for the preseason debut.
Yeah, not so excited about what we're going to see tonight, because I don't think we're going to see 100% Nazem Kadri. I don't think he's going to run through the wall in preseason game number one for him. But every player I've talked to so far, his new teammates, everything that is said about him is he's a pain in the... Not sure if I can say that word on radio. I'm assuming
yes,
I can.
You can say pain
he's
in the ass.
He's a pain in the ass. And what's worse than that, he backs it up afterwards. He'll either run through you with a hit, he'll score a big goal, he'll set up a big play. And talking to some players, that's the most annoying thing about Nazem Kadri. Not the fact that he can get in your face, but the fact that he backs it up and can impact the game in several different ways.
We're underway. I'm excited for Kadri. I'm having some printer issues as well, if you're wondering why I'm a little distracted. That's also happening at the same time. I'm doing it for Willsy, too. Like, I'm trying to be a good Samaritan.
Teammates.
I think as we move closer, I don't know what defines expectations for Kadri this year. I don't think it's just goals and points. I don't think that is something that ends up being what defines if year one is a success or not. I think there's a lot of other things that go into it. So as we move closer towards the regular season, definitely a conversation we need to get into. He's Aaron Vickers, Daily Hive. My name is Pat Steinberg. We're underway. Hour one of Flames Talk, and you can get Flames Talk, as you know, wherever you get your podcasts. Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon. Go hit subscribe.
Flames Talk is live on Calgary's Hockey Station. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Flames Roundtable time. Hour one rolls on this Wednesday game day against the Edmonton Oilers. Preseason game number four, following preseason game number three, which went Tuesday in Seattle. 3-0 loss for the Flames in that game. Daily Flames Roundtable with Pat Steinberg, Aaron Vickers of Daily Hive, and now the radio voice of the Calgary Flames, Derek Wills, joins us to complete the roundtable. Gents, let's start with the game Tuesday in Seattle. Any player on the bubble that did something to better their case? Anybody on the bubble that maybe took a step forward or helped their cause on the road against the Kraken?
To be completely honest, no, not really. I mean, maybe on defense, Nick Meloche and Connor Mackey, I thought, were clearly the Flames' best pairing in that game against the Kraken last night. At forward, Cody Eakin was around it. Sonny Milano had some shots and some scoring chances, three shots on goal, and probably at least a couple of pretty good scoring chances. But beyond that, guys, I must admit I was a little bit disappointed with what I saw last night, because I'm not looking for veteran players to pop for me this early in the preseason.
Right.
Later in the preseason, as they really ramp up for the regular season, sure. What I want to see right now is the guys who are fighting for contracts, fighting not to get sent down to the AHL, to stay in the NHL. Those are the guys I want to pop. And you can do it in a number of different ways. It doesn't have to be scoring a goal or setting one up or throwing a big hit. Just do something. And I think the guy I was most interested to see last night was Adam Ružička, because I kind of went into that game thinking to myself, as Pat gets into a street fight with our printer, I went into that game thinking,
I'm losing, by the way,
he's probably the Flames' most NHL-ready prospect at forward. Here's the problem for Adam Ružička. The Flames have Elias Lindholm, Nazem Kadri, Michael Backlund, Kevin Rooney, Trevor Lewis, all at center. And they've got some other guys who play the wing who are natural centers that they could slide over if there was an injury. There's no clear path to the NHL for Adam Ružička up the middle right now. If you're going to be on the opening night roster, it's probably going to have to be as a third-line winger. So I was anxious to see him play left wing for the first time as a member of the Flames last night. and he just kind of blended in, which is not what I wanted to see from him, and I suspect probably not what Brad Treloving and the management group and Daryl Sutter and the coaching staff wanted to see from him. He needs to be more assertive. And I would say that about just about everybody fighting for a spot right now. Go out and grab the spot.
Mm-hmm.
Don't blend in. Play the game with an exclamation mark. That's what I want to see.
Well, especially don't stand out in a negative way, which I yes. think in defense of Adam Rozichka, he was playing out of position. I'm going to go about it a little different way because, again, I didn't mind Matthew Phillips. And to me, he's strengthening his case. Now, it's not necessarily a great case, and we know the obstacles that are in his way. 5'6", 145-ish pounds. He's a right shot, though, and there is that vacancy on that second line right wing. For me, he was in and around it all game. I'd go so
minus
far
two.
As that, yes. But plus minus one was a power play. I don't know if you necessarily hang that on him on that action. To me, the one play that stands out to me the most, though, there's a play in Calgary's defensive end, and we all know how much Daryl Sutter likes it when players take care of their own end. Both defensemen were up at the hash marks battling with another Flames forward against two Seattle Kraken players. Phillips identifies, slides back, covers the slot. Now, he's the only one back there because there's no forechecking Seattle Kraken forward down there, but just his sheer presence alone that when the play did break out and the puck did come towards Calgary's net, there was still a guy there. So for me, Matthew Phillips is not only a guy that has some offensive potential, he has situational awareness as well, and I think that'll go a long way for this coaching staff.
Yeah, he's got a high hockey IQ, and to his credit, he was the smallest player on the ice last night, and he blocked three shots. So he's doing what he can to get noticed,
yeah. Yep.
Even if that's not goals, assists, and points.
Yeah, it didn't necessarily look like the smallest player on the ice
nope.
last night. It's Mackey for me because I think he is in the mix to be on this opening day roster. How long that lasts for and Oliver Shillington's situation, I think, remains unknown. But I think he did another really good job of taking a step forward. And I think at this point, if you were to say which kind of guy without a lot of NHLers, without a lot of NHL experience, rather, has done the most to put himself into a potential full-time role of any position during this camp, I think it would be him. Now, again, it's early, and the competition is just going to continue to get better and better. But I've been impressed. He's been steady. He's been physical. And I even liked a little bit of what I saw from him on the power play. Got some shots through, and so I liked him again. So he's played two preseason games now. I've had a chance to have eyes on both of them. He didn't play in that game in Vancouver. So I'm curious about how this plays out because I kind of think that Milosh is I maybe put him. I mean, I guess he doesn't have that much more NHL experience than Mackey does, but they signed him to a one-way deal for a reason, and they brought him in free agency. I kind of think that he's just a factor, period. Mackey, to me, seems a little bit more on the bubble, but right now he's doing a nice job to change that.
I agree with you. I've liked him in both games, and last night he played more than any other defenseman, and ice time does tell a story, especially with Daryl Sutter. If you're not playing well, he's going to take time away from you. If you are playing well, he'll give you more of it. He played 23 minutes and 26 seconds, played on both sides of special teams. He's got good size. He's strong. I like his puck skills. He's a pretty good skater. The one thing I would say about Connor Mackey, and this goes for just about everybody on the Flames right now, and I'm talking about regulars and guys who are fighting for a spot, got to play a little bit faster. Daryl always talks about playing with pace, and I know that the guys are ramping up right now, but if you're one of the guys fighting for a spot, you've got to jump ahead of the pack. So when you think about that battle to be the number six defenseman or to be one of the number six or seven defensemen, you know, Daryl, when I asked him about Connor Mackey earlier today, said there's three or four guys battling to be one of those two guys. And Connor Mackey's certainly one of those guys. I think Nick Milosh is another one of those guys. Yusuf Alamaki, I didn't think, had a great night, but I would put him in that pack of players as well. And then there's good old Michael Stone, who's on a PTO, and I'd love to see him back again. So I think with Oliver Shillington out, you've probably got, realistically, four guys fighting for two spots to start the season. So let's see who jumps up and grabs those spots.
Daily Flames Roundtable, Derek Wills, Aaron Vickers, Pat Steinberg with you on this Tuesday, hour one of Flames Talk. Gents, Sonny Milano and Cody Eakin have now each played two games and have gotten, you know, significant ice time in both of them as PTO forwards on this team. Who has the better chance from what we've seen so far and what we just understand of the situation overall? In your mind, who's got the better chance of earning a contract out of camp? Ooh,
man, that's a tough one, Pat, because for me, it's a little bit like comparing apples to oranges because I think they're fighting for different spots. Mm-hmm. I think Sonny Milano is fighting to be a middle six forward who produces offensively. I think that Cody Eakin is battling to be the 12th or 13th forward or maybe 14th forward. Because when you look at how the Flames' fourth line will look tonight, quite frankly, if there aren't any injuries, I'd be surprised if it looked any different October 13th when the Avalanche come to town for the home and season opener. I think you're going to see Rooney between Lucic and Lewis. Now, Richie could be a factor as well, but he's hurt right now. We don't think he's hurt seriously because he's still skating, so that's good news. But really, if you put Eakin into that mix, those are kind of five fourth line guys. But if you're going to carry 14 forwards, which they may or may not, then I think Eakin's fighting to be either a fourth line guy or one of the one or two spares. As for Milano, again, last night he had three shots on goal. He had two or three decent scoring chances. Seems to know how to find the soft spots. You can tell he's got lots of skill, but he's got to put it all together. And the Flames have made it clear. We've heard it certainly from Daryl Sutter and I think from Brad Treleving as well that there isn't necessarily a glaring opening in the top nine, but there could be an opening in the top nine. Maybe as a right winger on the third line, let's say. Maybe as a right winger on the second line, although I would think there would be probably an incumbent who would take that spot before a guy that's currently on a PTO. But, Pat, it's a tough question to answer because they're fighting for two different spots. So I'm not sure that one guy's got a better chance than the other. At least that's the way I see it.
Yeah, not to parrot exactly what you said, but to me they're vying for different roles. With that, to me, the Calgary Flames have a greater need for a guy that can hold down a spot on that second line, and that's where, you know, consensus is. That's what Milano is fighting for versus Eakin, who I agree completely with you. He's fighting for the 12, 13, 14 spot, mm-hmm. or maybe even first call-up if that's a situation where he starts in Calgary with the Wranglers. I've appreciated Eakin's game more than I have Milano's at this point, but again, they're trying to accomplish two different things out there, I think. How this all shakes out, does one get one? Does two guys get a contract? Do neither of them get a contract? I don't think we're really super clear on that right now. I do think that Milano hasn't outplayed anybody in Calgary's top nine, like I mentioned. Like, I could see if the regular season starting tomorrow, I could see one of Dylan Dubé or Blake Coleman being elevated to that second line, and now you've got a hole in the third line that you probably want to get filled. And to me, if it's a third line role you're filling, okay, maybe it's Eakin as opposed to Milano. I just don't know if we've seen enough out of either of these two guys to declare one the front runner.
I would lean slightly to Milano only because I do think there's just more need for what they're looking for from him. Even though I don't think that it has been, you know, emphatic or anything's jumped off the page necessarily, I just think there's more of a need for what he's here trying to compete for. Whereas I think that it's just a little bit more crowded for where Cody Eakin would fit. That's not to say that he couldn't do it, because I think Eakin's been fine in the games that he's played, and I think you know what you're going to get from him in the role that they're going to ask him. But Lucic is here, and Rooney is here, and Richie is here, and Lewis is here. There's four names right there that, as you mentioned, you'd probably put kind of in that fourth line mix. So I don't know if there's as much of a need for Eakin as there is for a guy like Milano. But he's still, like, Sonny still has to prove that he can do it. Whether there's a need or not, they're not just going to, well, we need this, and this is where you theoretically could fit. So you haven't been very good, but here's it. Like, it's not going to go like that. No. He's got to earn it. But I just think because there's maybe more of an open door, he would still be the front runner for me.
It's funny you say that, because my next comment was going to be, remember when Bob Hartley was here and the motto was always earned, never given?
Yep.
Now, the ironic thing in hindsight was that really wasn't even the case, because the Flames didn't have enough legitimate NHL players to make that the case. Now they do. you're going to have to earn it here because they don't necessarily need you unless you're going to make them better. So I don't see the Flames giving Sonny Milano a contract just because. I think he's going to have to earn that contract.
Sure.
And if he doesn't, I think they're going to look elsewhere, whether it's bringing someone else in on a PTO, maybe using some of their depth and goal or on defense to make a move to bring in another top nine forward. I don't think they're giving anybody a contract just because they have contracts available to give. I just don't see that happening with where this team is at, and they're clearly in a win-now window right now. The thing about Eakin is that I just think he's a Daryl Sutter type of player, don't you guys? Daryl Sutter likes guys who are consistent. And, you know, Glenn Gullitson used to say, what's on the back of your hockey card? Be the best version of that day in, day out. You don't have to be a 40-goal scorer if you're playing on the fourth line. That's not who you are. Be who you are and be that guy day in, day out. And I just think that you know what Cody Eakin is, and I think he would offer you that consistency. I don't really know what Sonny Milano is right now. Coming off a decent offensive year with the Ducks, he's playing with some really good players. So the fact that he can play with good players, I think, is one of the reasons why the Flames brought him in to battle for a middle six job. But, boy, we'll have to wait and see how it plays out. Pat, you made a good point earlier. Until we get to see Milano play with the players that he would be playing with if he earned a contract and an opportunity to play on the second or third line here, I think it's going to be difficult to judge him. I also think it's difficult to judge everybody this early in the preseason because one night your B squad's playing against another team's A squad, and tonight your A squad's playing against another team's B squad. So it's not like apples to apples, NHLers to NHLers. So I think this weekend and into next week, we'll get a better idea of where guys are at.
Yep. Daily Flames Roundtable. Last topic for you with Derek Wills, Aaron Vickers, and my name is Pat Steinberg. Jen says, Nazem Kadri makes his preseason debut in this home game against the Oilers. What are reasonable, fair, realistic expectations for Kadri in year one as a member of the Flames? What would be a measure of success for Kadri?
Well, first of all, he's my new favorite player.
Oh, why is that?
Well, because in today's media scrum, he let us all know that he is a diehard Miami Dolphins fan.
Are you?
Yeah.
Derek ran into the scrum and hugged him. It was very awkward.
It was a little awkward, but
I didn't think you were part of that scrum.
You know,
you just heard Miami.
Fins up, baby. No, but obviously we're all excited to see Nazem Kadri, and to pull the curtains back a little bit, I've heard his name said, his first name and his last name, so many different ways. I'm like, listen, before I call his first game as a member of the Flames, I'm going to get to the bottom of it. Nazem Kadri is how it's supposed to be pronounced. I've got it on my phone. I sent it to Rick Ball and Kelly Rudy, and we listened to it, so looking forward to see him make his Flames preseason debut. As far as expectations, he's coming off a career year with the best team in the league. He had 87 points last year in 71 games. That's 26 more than he had in any other season. One of the factors, Nathan MacKinnon, an elite player, all-world player, he was banged up for a number of games. So Kadri, who was their number two centerman, got elevated and played the role of number one centerman for quite some time. So I think that probably boosted his numbers a little bit when you think about the talent that he was playing with, Gabriel Landeskog and Mikko Rantanen with that awesome Avalanche team. So as far as what I expect from him this season, he's going to be the number two centerman again, and knock on wood that the Flames don't need to elevate him to be their number one centerman for any length of time, because that would mean that they lost Elias Lindholm, and that would be bad, bad news for them. But you know, I could see Nazem Kadri coming in somewhere between 60 and 70 points. Number two centerman, he's going to play with two good players. Other teams are really going to have to focus on trying to shut down the Flames' number one line, which right now is Elias Lindholm between Jonathan Huberdeau and Tyler Toffoli. We'll see if that's the threesome we see to start the season. But Kadri is a really good two-way player. And, yeah, he's going to go out there and play the shutdown role on some nights. But on some nights, teams are going to be worried about shutting down the Flames' number one line, which is, I think, going to open things up for their number two line. So I think 60 to 70 points, if he plays close to 82 games, is where I would expect him to be.
Yeah, so if you look at the stats, you mentioned it, 28 goals, 87 points in 71 games. If you extrapolate that over 82, that's a 32-goal, 100-point season. I mean this with all due respect. I don't think he's a 100-point player year in, year out. I don't think he's a perennial, you know, 30-goal guy, 70-assist guy for 100 points. But if he can realistically give you 25 goals and even somewhere in the neighborhood of a point per game, if he can get to 80 points, I think you're really happy. Because the one thing that I think he will do more than anything else is ease the burden on those two other centers. Yeah. I think he takes the heavy lifting off Elias Lindholm, and he takes the, on the back end side of things, he takes the heavy lifting off of Michael Backlund. Mm-hmm. I fully expect Backlund's line, whether it's Dubé and Coleman as his wingers or if there's another collection of them, I do think that that's going to be a shutdown line. But suddenly you're not asking Michael Backlund to do two different things and be conscientious of what he's doing at both ends of the ice. If you have Michael Backlund as a pure shutdown defender, you have Elias Lindholm as a true number one center, and you got Nazem Kadri as your number two, I think you're laughing if you're the Calgary Flames. I think that's great depth down the middle. And again, you're going to get somewhere around a point per game out of him, I do believe.
I think if he can be a guy that we're talking about playing against top players every night, driving a line that, you know, if Mangiapane on his wing can be in the 30-goal range and he can be in the 25-goal, 60-point range, and they can be a line that you can put out there for 18 minutes a night at 5-on-5, not have to worry about who they're playing against, where they're starting, and just put them out there knowing that this line is more often than not going to win their matchup, I think it's a success. Do I think that Nazem Kadri is going to be a 100-point player with the Flames? No, probably not. They're just, the Avalanche were kind of a different level octane-wise than everybody else in the NHL was, and everybody had career years there last year. You know, I look at this as a group that I think is, you know, last year they played Daryl Sutter hockey, and they scored a ton. I don't know if we see them score at that same rate this year. Maybe we do, and I'm not saying, I don't know if that is something that we'd be expecting. So maybe we see, you know, Jonathan Huberdeau, we might be talking about a 90-point season, him being just as effective, but 25 points less than he had last year. And maybe Lindholm finishes with 75, and that doesn't mean that they're not as effective. So it's not a point total thing that is so important. Obviously, you want him to produce, but if you can get in the 60-point range from Kadri and have him be that head-to-head center and a line that Daryl Sutter can put out every shift, regardless of situation, opponent, I think you're going to be happy.
Yeah, and if he plays somewhere close to 82 games, I would be more surprised if he came in under 60 points than I would be if he came in over 80 points. Another big factor will be, which power play is he on? Is he on PP1 or PP2? If he's on PP1, then I think he's probably going to finish closer at 80 points if he plays close to a full season. PP2, maybe closer to 60. It can really swing point totals. But you know, this guy's a fantastic two-way player. And what you love about Nazem Kadri is that even when he's not scoring goals and producing points, he's going to do other things to help you win hockey games. You know, he's a lot like Michael Backlund and Elias Lindholm in that sense. Great with the puck, but also great without the puck. So the Flames 1-2-3 punch at center is probably what I'm most excited about going into this 22-23 season. And looking forward to seeing number 91 wearing that red jersey tonight.
He is Derek Wills. He is Aaron Vickers. My name is Pat Steinberg. That's your Daily Flames Roundtable as we continue along. Hour one wrapping up on Flames Talk on this Wednesday. And, of course, you can get Flames Talk on Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon. Go hit subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.